911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and he was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
There was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sheriff?
Dia!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
This is Peter Byrne. I'm happy to have been on the show with Brian, and I hope that the audience appreciates and enjoys it.
Guys, and welcome back to Sasquatch Odds. Thank you guys so much for clicking play. I hope you guys are having a great week. We've got an amazing show lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can give me a brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. You can head over to the website, check it out, become a member there, and help support the show. If you guys tuned in last week for Wednesday Wisdom, you know that I did a show about the last member of the Four Horsemen that are still around and still with us, Peter Byrne. And I told you then that I'd reached out to Peter, and he actually had some time to come on and do an interview. So I got to talk to him a few days ago, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. He's got some new stuff that he's talking about that's happened in the last couple of years because he's still out searching for Sasquatch. So I was really excited to talk to him, and I was really excited to get his perspective on a couple of things and ask him a few questions that I've always wanted to ask somebody who's been in this game for 6 decades. He's got some opinions on the Patterson-Gimlin film and these creatures in general, where they are, where they aren't. So I think it's a really cool interview. It's not very long. He only had about 30 minutes, and I wanted to be respectful of his time. So we got enough in there that I think you're really going to appreciate the show. But before we get into that, if you would just take a couple of seconds and rate and review the show, I would appreciate it greatly. And go over and check out our Patreon page. Consider becoming a member and help support the show. But enough of that. I know you guys aren't here for that. You're here for the show. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to let the music play. You guys sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I want to welcome our guest to the show. It's the incomparable Peter Byrne. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I just want to get right into it. I did a history show about you recently, so everybody sort of has the backstory to your life and the things that you did leading up to getting into Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and the Yeti. Working with John Green, Rene DeHinden, Grover Cranch, you will ever be connected to those folks as one of the four horsemen of Sasquatchery. So I want to talk about some of the evidence that you've gotten the opportunity to examine and find over the years. So is there anything that stood out to you over the time that you were investigating this subject that you found yourself or that maybe somebody else found that you found to be very credible and important in as far as the discovery of these creatures?
Now, do you want to talk about the Yeti or Bigfoot? Which?
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Yeti skull that you got the opportunity to examine and what you thought about that and what do you think about that validity, and then let's move into some of the Sasquatch evidence.
All right. I was a tea planter in North India for 5 years, and every year we had a month off. When I had that month off, I would go into the Himalaya and look for the Yeti. And these were what you might call very small expeditions. They consisted of myself and a cook and a couple of porters. And we hiked a few miles each time, talking with villagers And on one occasion, we found footprints, small five-toed footprints, that would fit something which the villagers told us was about four feet high, the Yeti, not anything like the Bigfoot. And I did three of those expeditions, and then I was contacted by Tom Slick, the Texas oil man, who wanted me to come to the States and look for Bigfoot. So I was retiring from my tea company, and at that time, so I came over to the States and went down to Texas and sat down with Tom Slick, and we looked at maps of the Pacific Northwest. And at first I was skeptical, a large hairy primate in the Pacific Northwest. I was very skeptical. Then I looked at the maps of the Pacific Northwest, and it's twice the size of the Himalaya, twice the size or more, millions of acres up here, as you probably know. So we got into, Tom and I, a three-year project into the Bigfoot, which came to an end when Tom died in an air crash, very sadly, October 62. So I ran one big project for Tom Slick, based in Northern California. And then years later, after Tom had passed away, I was approached by a very wealthy man in Peoria. His name was Dave Randsburg. He has passed away. And we set up another project. This one was for 5 years. And we based it again in Northern California, and then moved to Oregon. And we did a lot of research, had a lot of people working. We had offices, vehicles, a helicopter on call. It was a big project. It came to an end after 5 years with, again, us having seen some footprints, which is just about the only evidence that we had, except for, of course, eyewitness reports. And I collected quite a few of those and put them into my book, The Hunt for Bigfoot, which was published some years ago.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that evidence. Let's talk, for example, about the Patterson-Gimlin film, 1967. They filmed what was purported to be this female Sasquatch crossing the sandbar in Bluff Creek. You've obviously seen that, and you were involved in some level on looking at that film. Do you think that is the piece of evidence that has stood the test of time? And what is your thoughts on the Patterson-Gimlin film and its whether it's real or not? Do you believe that's a real creature?
Well, we're talking about what we call the 1967 footage, shot by Roger Patterson, accompanied by Bob Gimlin. They were both cowboys, very unsophisticated. They rented a camera. They went down to Northern California. And they just happened to be in the right place at the right time. I think that footage is real for a number of reasons, for the research that's been done on it. I took a copy to Disney Studios years ago, and I sat down in one of their little theaters with the head of animation and five of his assistants, and we ran the footage. And they said, oh, that's great. We ran it again. They said, all right. Where was this made? And I said, it was made in Northern California by two amateurs. And they said, oh, no. This is incredibly sophisticated. Incredibly. Now, obviously, there's no such creature. Therefore, it's faked. But it's incredibly well done. It was not done in the States, because if it was done in the States, we would have done it. This was Disney Studios. And then since then, talking with Bob Gimlin, who up here in the Northwest is regarded as a man of integrity, well known to many people. And that and other things convince me that it's real. It's a huge creature. It's 7 foot tall. We were able to do measurements there later, not long after the footage was shot, and compare those measurements with stumps and trees behind. The creature is 7'4", has a 42-inch stride, had 14-inch feet. These were the footprints. And very powerful, very muscular. And, for instance, this was shot by cowboys using a 16-millimeter film, and they had no idea of anatomy. And yet this creature has buttocks, huge buttocks. And these are the muscles that we, used to walk upright. I forget the actual scientific name, but you see the enormous muscles on this creature moving. The arms are swinging. It turns its head. You see teeth between its lips. You see ears. So if I'm not going on and on about the film, let me sum up and say I think it's real.
Well, there's been tons of other evidence and videos and photographs and castings of footprints, and all these things have been found throughout the decades. Is there anything else that sticks out to you as something that you see as credible evidence, in addition to the Patterson-Gimlin film, the 67 film, that these things are real?
Well, we found footprints 5 times across the years, and this is going back across 60 years. 5 times only. But they were in remote areas. Now, a faker goes out to make a fake footprint. He goes behind his house, or he walks down the road, or maybe he drives 5 miles. The footprints we found were 30, 40 miles back, a place that a faker does not go. If for any other reason, that the footprints are not going to be found. So the footprints we found were very real. They were all close to 14 inches. Five-toed, with a kind of a slight bulge behind the right toe, we notice. And we have casts, of course, still, after all these years, we have some casts from those days. So the footprints, and then if you want some of the other evidence, you go back to Native American evidence, and the earliest I have is from 1784 in a newspaper talking about some Native Americans capturing one. And then all through the 1800s, miners and settlers coming in, many stories which, to me, are very credible. Right up to the present day, state policemen, surveyors, even a high court judge in Oregon here, tell me about what they saw and give me their reports. So those things, the history, the 1967 film, and the footprint finds. And then some things I've seen myself. All of these things add up to credibility of the creatures actually being here. Not so many as there might have been years ago, because in the 60s, we found footprints like twice in 1 year, and now we go 10, 20 years, and there's nothing. There is one thing that recently came up, and I'll tell you what it is, because it's worth telling. 2 years ago, 2020, June, seven loggers were working in northern Oregon here, way back. They were about 10 miles back in the woods. And it was a closed area. It was gated by the people who were leasing it from the Forest Service. And they gate those areas because of insurance. They don't want people wandering in, getting hurt. Then there are insurance problems. So it was gated. So these seven men were working with some machinery. And one of them looks up and sees a man walking down the road. So he says, "Who's that?" Because there are no other men in the area, only these seven men. So all seven stop work. And here is a Bigfoot walking towards them from about 300 yards away. And they said it was, I've interviewed three of them. They said it was 7 feet tall, they guessed. It was dark brown in color, walking upright, swinging its arms. It looked enormous. When it came up to about 100 yards away from them, it stopped, turned away, and went into the woods. Where it was walking was very short grass and tree stumps, so their sighting of it was very clear. So that's something of great interest to people in the Bigfoot field. We call it the seven-man sighting from June 2 years ago.
Well, let's talk a little bit about sightings, because this is what this show is really all about. I started this show to document as many encounter stories as I possibly could, but I'm in the southeastern United States in North Carolina. So I started with those kind of stories, and then I've worked my way, and I've talked to people in the United Kingdom that have claimed to have had sightings of these things. So let's talk a little bit about some of the reports that you've taken, and what do you think about these things being seen everywhere, down in Florida, here in North Carolina, and of course in the Pacific Northwest? How many of these reports do you think are actually credible? I know it's tough to put a number on it, but what do you think as far as credible reports? Do you think it's 10%? Do you think it's even more than that? Because I struggle sometimes with them being seen in some of the areas that people claim and purport to see these things. So what are your thoughts on these reports, and how credible do you think they are?
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Well, those of us who've been in the search for a very long time, we have a saying about where these things may be found, and that is east of the Rockies. And that includes the Pacific Northwest, Northern California, Oregon, British Columbia, right up to the Alaskan border. But in the States here, west of the Rockies, that's it, and nowhere else.
Well, that's interesting, because I've sort of thought the same thing myself, but I hear, and I've even experienced things here in North Carolina that I can't explain, but I haven't seen anything. So, you know, when you get those reports from what appear to be credible people, it's hard to decipher, separate the wheat from the chaff, because these people are very sincere when they're telling their stories. And, you know, that's one of the things that make this so unbelievable for the skeptical people and even cynical people, is that people are seeing these things in places that they couldn't or wouldn't exist, even if they were real.
Well, people see things when they're driving. They see a shape, perhaps they see shadows. If they're into the Bigfoot mystery, if they're in, you know, have an interest, read the books, they misinterpret what they see. And very honestly, there'd be no reason for me to say, oh, there's none in North Carolina, there's none in Texas, other than our studies. And my studies go back 60 years now. I've written two books, as you know, one fairly recently. First one was called The Search for Bigfoot, and then I upgraded it to The Hunt for Bigfoot, which I published a couple of years ago. In these studies, these interviews with people, what we come down to, once again, if I'm not repeating myself, is west of the Rockies.
Well, you've been doing this, and you've clearly been in this for over six decades now. I guess it comes down to, I've had conversations with people like Dr. Jeff Meldrum when he was on the show, and I asked him about population and what he thought the population could possibly be in the northern United States, to include Canada and the Pacific Northwest. What do you think is a ballpark as far as what kind of numbers we're talking with these things currently, as it is today in 2022?
Nobody knows. I've gone over this before with other people. Nobody knows. One left or 1,000. Nobody knows. And no way of knowing. We might capture one day and teach it English, and it could talk and ask it, okay, how many of you are there? No, I'm getting rather sort of glib there. But the answer there, I've heard people say 300, 3,462. Nobody knows how many. I will say one thing, that there seems to be, there are less and less reports across the years. And because of that, I think these things might be diminishing, like the Yeti. Going back to the Yeti for a moment, I think the Yeti is extinct. And the reason for that is we're going into something like 45, 50 years now, and there's not been a single footprint or a single sighting of the Yeti. Just like when I was in the Himalaya, in the country of Nepal, across the years I was there, two animals disappeared, completely disappeared. One was a small leopard called the clouded leopard, and they're gone, completely gone. So our Bigfoot could be diminishing in numbers. And then if I'm not repeating myself as to actual numbers, nobody knows.
Well, the question is always hanging in the air for me, and I ask this of people on my show often, so I'll ask it of you. Why do you think it is, after all these years, and you in the search for yourself for 60 plus years now, why is it that you think we don't have definitive proof that these things actually exist? Why haven't we been able to find them?
Because science demands a body on the table, and that's the answer. Stories of sightings, stories of sounds, roars and screams and yells, stories of footprint finds, some of them not credible, they're no good. And the best photographs that you can reproduce in color, you know what can be done with computers, I'm sure. So when it comes down to, and I've worked with several scientists, and what they demand is physical evidence, a body on the table, if you like to say, and no physical evidence has ever been found. No hairs have ever been found. No bones, no tissues, no bodies. Nothing has ever been found. People say they have this, they have that, but they don't. So there isn't there. Physical evidence is what is demanded by scientists, and they don't have it. And until they get it, Bigfoot is what? A myth, a joke, fun.
Well, I definitely want to be respectful of your time. And as we close out, I just want to give you the last word. You've been doing this for so long, and you've been in this search for the majority of your life. What do you want to leave the audience with as far as thoughts on Bigfoot, the evidence, the search, anything you've experienced? What is the last word for you on solving this enigma that we're all trying to solve as far as Sasquatch is concerned?
Well, what we hope, all of us, as we move along in years, is a body will be found, one that has died of natural causes, not one that's been shot. And if a body is found, then scientists will suddenly change their minds, and huge institutions like the Smithsonian may start putting people into the field. So what we hope for is that the best thing that we can think of to prove the thing is a body that has died of natural causes.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I know your time is valuable, and I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge and experience. It's been a blast talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on.
All right. My pleasure. Glad to help. They say you don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.